It's the Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. On Monday, Governor Wolf ordered Allegheny County residents to shelter in place as a means to slow the coronavirus outbreak. But for some people, that could mean isolation with a domestic partner who abuses them. Nicole Molinaro is the president and CEO of the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
During the spread of this virus, businesses and nonprofits have been adjusting their operations. Have you made any changes to help people stay safe from the virus and from would-be abusers?
We absolutely have. Operationally, of course, our emergency shelter and its support programs are all operating with all CDC precautions in place, making sure that safety is the top priority for everybody involved, staff and clients. And all of our other programs are still operating in different ways. So for all of our non-resident clients, our legal clients, all of our other clients who are safely able to reach, we do so via phone. We're able to provide all services either via phone or video conference when appropriate, and really just trying to reach out in a very individualized, tailored fashion to all of our clients.
The Women's Center and Shelter operates a residential program for people looking to cut ties with their abusers, and you work closely with others at different points in that journey. Explain how that journey might be affected by what's happening these days.
Oh, absolutely. One of our concerns is that it has been seen in other pandemics, and we would, of course, include COVID-19 in that, that domestic abuse can increase. And it makes sense, of course, because when people who use battering are triggered, it's typically because they feel a lack of control over something. So when we are all feeling a bit out of control in the world, it makes sense that if you're already prone towards using abuse, that that abuse could escalate. So although we know that COVID-19, for instance, won't cause abuse, nothing really, you know, stress doesn't actually cause abuse. The abuse, when it exists, can be exacerbated by something that causes stress, like this pandemic.
How do you counsel your clients to temper their feelings of confusion, frustration, and even fear?
Right. So we really focus, and this would be for any domestic violence program, because it's important to know that all of the domestic violence programs in your listening area are operating. It's really important to safety plan. So safety planning on any given day involves, for instance, watching out for triggers that your abuser may become abusive or violent. So for COVID-19 specifically, when you are sheltering in place and where you are in your home is with your abuser, we are able to look at some specifics around safety planning. For instance, having code words with your children if they're of an age when they're able to either call the police or escape the house. If you're able to have others help you safety plan, so even if you can't call into a domestic violence program, are there other ways that you can get help through a friend, for instance, who can call into a hotline and ask for safety planning help? We also, of course, at any point, if a victim is sensing that their abuser is getting triggered and that there may be a fight, that the person is going to get aggressive and abusive, we always will recommend that if possible and if safe, that the victim kind of move either towards an exit or at least away from a room in the house, like a kitchen, that has some built-in weapons like knives, etc. So there's lots of different ways that folks can try to get to safety, and we encourage communication with a domestic violence program on any day about this, and especially during the pandemic.
Many of us are working from home, and many have lost their jobs. Do those pressures and fears about work exacerbate the potential for partner abuse?
They absolutely do. Financial stress, any sort of stress. So we really do want to stress that abuse doesn't just come out of nowhere and start because of a pandemic. However, if there have been red flags there, if there has already been abusive behaviors, we would anticipate that it would escalate because of financial and other stress that's being put on people right now.
And if there are children in the household, they're home from school, can that add to the tension?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yes, it sure can. And of course, we know that children will be seeing everything that's going on within the house and experiencing that stress, and in some cases, witnessing violence. So, you know, domestic violence programs, again, are open and serving and here for victims, here for children. And depending on the program, there's also battering intervention programs. So if you are abusive and really needing help and support during this time to not use those abusive behaviors, we also encourage you to reach out for help.
I'm Kevin Gavin, joined by Nicole Molinaro from the Women's Center and Shelter. Nicole, you're continuing to operate your shelter, but with the restrictions from the outbreak in place, how can you connect with and help new clients, adults, children?
Right, absolutely. So we've actually been able to expand our services a little bit during the current crisis. So through our hotline or through any domestic violence program hotline, that's the best way to reach out for services. So specific to Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh, we are also able to offer children's counseling. We are able to offer a full children's program. So even though, again, some of our services look different than they did a couple of weeks ago because we have to take safety precautions, we have, for instance, a minimum amount of people working on site here in our shelter. Everybody else is working remotely, as everybody should be right now, but we can still deliver all of our services. So if you've never reached out to a domestic violence program before and you need help and you can safely reach out, please do so.
Are you able to accept new clients into your shelter? Do you have the capacity at this point?
So we always are able to screen for lethality. And if somebody is in a lethal, potentially lethal situation, we will absolutely work with them to get them into shelter or to get them to safety. So we work with our other sister domestic violence programs. We will work in any way needed to get them sheltering so that they're able to be safe during that situation. So at any given day throughout the year, not just now, we are full and we are always screening for lethality to make sure that anybody's in a potentially lethal situation can get shelter. It's important to know, though, that most people don't actually need shelter. Shelter is for a small portion of people who are literally in fear for their lives. Most other domestic violence victims will need all of the other supportive services that domestic violence programs can offer.
Kim Berkeley Clark, President Judge of the Court of Common Pleas for Allegheny County, has declared a judicial emergency. That limits some procedures. Does it affect your legal efforts on behalf of your clients, such as seeking protection from abuse orders?
So I will speak broadly because your listening area I know is larger than Allegheny County. Protection from abuse orders should be available still in every county. The procedures have changed. The filing procedures have changed, but emergency and temporary PFA should still be available. What I would encourage somebody to do is reach out to their local domestic violence program to see where they are available. For instance, the magisterial districts in Allegheny County are closed, but they're all available at Pittsburgh Municipal Court during, 24 hours a day. But that might differ depending on the listening area. So reach out to your local domestic violence program, your local police station, whomever you're able to reach out to safely to find out how to currently get a protection from abuse order. And that is something that has been changing, at least in Allegheny County, often. So really reach out when you're ready, and we can tell you how to get a PFA.
Nicole Molinaro is the president and CEO of the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Nicole, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
I'm Kevin Gavin.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Megan Harris. Flight volume is down, airlines are struggling financially, and a ton of employees are working from home. But from the outside, at least, Pittsburgh International Airport may look even busier than usual. Here to talk about why is Christina Kasotis. She's the CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, which oversees PIT. Christina, thanks so much for making time.
Thank you for having me.
First off, the airport is open, still fully operational from where you sit?
Yes, and it will be no matter what. We have an important mission as part of National Critical Infrastructure, two military bases here and cargo airplanes still landing. So we are up and operational regardless of how many passenger flights are flying.
How have your workers adapted since the coronavirus outbreak accelerated so much in recent weeks? I know many are at home, but others, who all is on site right now?
Lots of people are on site, and the people who are at home are working from home, I can tell you that. So we have some folks in finance and human resources who are working from home, but they are making sure that payroll gets out, that all of the benefit claims are getting paid, and that, you know, anything that has to do with human resources is getting taken care of. We have some voluntary furloughs that we're offering, as well as early retirement. There's a lot of work to do around that. That can be done off-site. The stuff that cannot be done off-site is maintaining the airfield, inspecting the runways, making sure that our fire suppression systems are up and operational, taking care of the plumbing and the heating and the HVAC, etc. So there are a lot of folks out here working day-to-day, including customer service agents, people in IT, people who need to be on-site in order to maintain this critical infrastructure and make sure that it can operate no matter what.
And the CEO as well, I take it.
Yes, I am here.
For passengers who still have to travel, what changes might they notice first, aside from a very empty security line, I bet?
Yeah, right. An empty security line and an empty terminal. So there are definitely fewer of our shops and restaurants that are open, and those that are tend to have hours that have changed in response to the fact that passenger demand is dwindling. They will see that our carpenters built stations to put near the trains that hold Clorox wipes and, you know, Purell pumps. We couldn't actually get the stands to hold those things. They weren't commercially available, so our carpenters built them very quickly. There is a lot more visible cleaning going on. We've always cleaned. We have always maintained a very clean terminal, but we're letting people see that more often so that they've got confidence that it's happening. And it's just generally very quiet over there. There's plenty of space to maintain that 6-foot social distancing.
What does that feel like to you to look around and see the airport, usually an incredibly bustling place at any hour, quiet like that?
I think it's just, it's a sign of the times. And it's, I can tell you that I'm not alone, that there's my colleagues around the world are facing the same thing. I think we're all stunned at how quickly this has affected airlines and the entire aviation ecosystem. And don't make any mistake about it, airports are a critical part of that, especially when it comes to figuring out where to park all these aircraft that have to sit still for a while. So I think we're all just really stunned at how this is ripping through the whole travel industry and many other industries. It's got a whole lot of folks who make a living out here, wheelchair runners, people who work for the airlines, TSA, Customs and Border Protection, the de-icing folks. It's unsettling to see it so quiet.
When it's not just people and jobs, PIT is still receiving quite a bit of cargo. How have those loads changed since China went offline and now that some of those factories are getting back going again?
Yeah, so that's one of the things we're monitoring is we're taking a look at production coming out of China. And we do know that a lot of the goods that traditionally had been shipped in the belly of passenger aircraft have not been able to get shipped in the last couple of months because passenger aircraft were not flying from China. So now what we're seeing is freight forwarders are starting to book and reserve aircraft time, lots and lots of aircraft time, in order to get those goods out of China into the U.S. And so we're actually talking to a number of airlines about becoming an overflow market for them to land those planes. We've got the ground handling equipment here that we own, and we have folks who are certainly ready to help play our part in the national transportation system when it comes to getting those goods into the U.S. So we are seeing an uptick. We haven't been able to measure it yet. There's a little bit of a lag, but we are definitely seeing an uptick in cargo, especially around a lot of the just-in-time deliveries that people are ordering as some of them, not everybody we know, but as some of them are able to work from home.
I'm Megan Harris talking to CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, Christina Kasotis. Christina, as you're talking about some of those revenues, when you look ahead, at what point do you begin to worry about the airport's finances or the authority's finances?
We paid off all of our debt last year. We are in a good position, and we definitely have some diversified revenue streams. That said, we are like every other airport in the country, saying that we need to be considered when they're thinking about impacts to travel or the aviation ecosystem. That, you know, airlines are incredibly important, and they are our lifeblood, as they are for every airport, and the airports are just as important to the airlines. So we are well positioned to certainly take care of what we need to with this airport for the foreseeable future, but that's not indefinite. And so we're hopeful that as we see a decreasing rate of infection at some point, that we can start to rebuild. And we are looking to Asia, in China in particular, to see how that's happening. But in the meantime, we have a lot to do to make sure that we're hunkered down, keeping our passengers and staff safe and getting through this.
You were scheduled to break ground this spring on the $1.1 billion terminal makeover. Do you imagine this delaying or changing those plans at all?
I do. I absolutely see that there will be a delay or a deferral. We're working with our airline partners, monitoring this situation to figure out how to proceed. One of the things that you've got to do in order to execute a program like that is you've got to go to the bond market. And first, before you do that, you've got to go to the rating agencies. And this is not probably the best time to show up as an airport saying, please, let's talk about going to the bond market. So we are going to see some delays. We don't know what they look like yet, but we're on top of the situation. In the meantime, we're continuing with design, and we are continuing to get ready.
Do you anticipate anything more dire, like a domestic air travel shutdown?
I can't possibly predict the future. Certainly, we've seen that happen in other countries. But again, even if that were to happen, we'd have the same people here doing the same work, because we still have military. Remember, we have two military bases here, and we still have cargo flights coming in.
Well, whenever that is, what is your message to would-be travelers, people watching flight prices right now, staying home obediently, but maybe looking forward to future destinations, COVID-19 free?
Yeah, I think, you know, the world has gotten used to traveling, to being able to be mobile. I feel strongly that, you know, as long as somebody has a wedding to go to or wants to go home to, you know, to hold the hand of a dying grandparent or see a new, you know, niece or nephew be born, or to strike a deal that really does require a face-to-face meeting, I think it will come back. I don't know when, but I think at some point we'll get back to traveling. It's important to all of us to be connected to other people, to learn, and to be curious. And I think that will eventually come back, and we will remember what it feels like. Maybe we'll be more grateful for it at that time. I don't know.
Christina Kasotis is the CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority. Christina, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Harris.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. A reminder to keep up to date on how the spread of the new coronavirus is affecting our region, go to our coronavirus blog at WESA.FM. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Kylie Kozinski, and Megan Harris. Until next time, I'm Kevin Gavin. Please be safe, and I hope you have a good day of good news.